My name is Paola Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It's the 23rd of July 2009 at 2:10 PM. Please could you tell me your full name, your date of birth and where you're from?
I'm Marilyn Rogers. I'm born 25th of the 4th, 1952, and I'm from Neath, South Wales, Skewin, Neath, South Wales.
How are you feeling about going on the fourth plinth?
Quite relaxed, and hopefully we'll get a great response and feeling from it.
How did you first hear about the project?
I check out Anthony Gormley's website now and again, as I'm an art lecturer, teacher, and I use it as a means of showing work to the students. And I saw that this was coming up. It was also in the press and media about the fourth plinth.
And what inspired you to apply?
I'm a great believer in the collective spirit. This seemed to me a great project. I know Anthony's other projects. I've seen some of his work before. And I was really pleased, as it seemed possible, that I could be part of it.
And what happened when you found out you had a place?
I was slightly worried and thought I'll have to think through this, because although I've been to the square many times as part of my history of coming to London as a child and also working in the area, in the galleries, I still realise that it's more than that. You are in the public space in a spectacle.
Are you a follower of Anthony Gormley's work?
Yes, I would say I am. Followed his work from quite a while back, actually, possibly 25 years. So I have seen it change and mature, but know his principles and ethos quite well.
And does the square have a special meaning to you?
Yes, as I said, when I thought about it, I remembered coming here as a child from Wales, with my father, who's a Londoner, feeding the pigeons, bringing my brother and his young family up when they were 20s, and working in the area, coming here with St Mungo's students, going to the National Gallery and National Portrait Gallery on a project from liaising with the museum studies courses at the National Portrait Gallery and British Museum.
And what does it mean to you to be a part of the Gormley project in the square?
It's a means to recognise the others, so that it's not purely about myself, even though, in effect, I am putting myself on a pedestal. To me, it's about sharing things with everyone.
So who would you say you're doing this for?
I am putting myself on a pedestal, so therefore I'm doing it for myself at the end of quite a arduous term and year. I feel it's a way of celebrating myself and my belief in inclusive practices and sharing art, creativity in general.
Can you tell us a little bit about where this value of collaborative or sharing of art came from?
As an individual artist, part of the work I'm going to show on the plinth is creativity. As a woman artist, it's great when you're young and you're a student, but then you have other issues that come into your life, working life, having family and children. But the collective practices I developed with my colleagues and friends in Lambeth, Brixton Artist Collective, circa 1980 to 1990, the 80s, I suppose, was formative in me in women's art, feminist art and collective work with diverse groups and communities.
What exactly will you be doing on the plinth?
I plan to unravel a banner of sorts, which is a big sheet with some words on, which will act as a means of me expressing some of these feelings of community, collective work, the importance of friends and creativity in general for everybody, as opposed to the destructive forces which are around us.
And what impact would you like to have by going?
I'd like to say to people, everyone can do this. Everyone can share in free and accessible activities and have a statement they wish to make whatever anybody else may say about it.
You mentioned women in art. Have you got a particular value about women in art?
I have, as I say, known many, many women. I've done a list, which is available to look at, of women I could come up with today, over 100 artist names from Renaissance to today's work. And I think they are often underlooked. As I pointed out when I talked it through my husband partner, Stephen Duncan, he said, instead of saying it's to the unknown woman artist, this hour I'm giving, it's actually to the little known woman artist. And in fact, perhaps this makes it more known.
Where did your interest in art stem from?
Through college teaching, school art. Just it's inside people, I think. And some people can let it out and be creative in different ways. And I did it through education, training, work, art showing exhibitions, being a community artist.
Are you a creator of work then as well as a teacher of work?
Yes, my creativity is now circumscribed by life, but also the distractions in my life, and that's another reason I look at women artists and think if they were more disciplined in their own making of work and they had a more way of, I suppose, earning a living out of it and be recognised for it in a way that's commensurate with the amount of time and effort and talent, then I can't think what I was going to say. You have to repeat that bit.
Could you tell us a little bit about the work you're doing at the moment?
I've arranged to be a teacher again so that I can go to Wales to work in studios and do work related to the countryside and nature. That's my current work. But I also see the work I do in the community with creative ideas. Patchwork picnics has been one of my recent ideas. And that's, again, an accessible way of sharing creativity with others.
Have you participated in art projects before?
Yeah. Roxanne Permar had a great collective piece in the opening of the Walsall Art Gallery. She asked people to put forward, I think it was pink things, I remember. Women's Work was a collective that worked collectively to put on exhibitions and do videos. And I worked with them, as I say, from the 80s to early 90s.
Where did you work during that period?
Lambeth Community Education, adult education, because it was working within the remit of having a young family and childcare, setting up local childcare groups that could fit in with the teaching time of adult education, which is a great lifelong learning experience for everybody.
Do you continue to work with communities and nature?
Yes, I have been based in Lambeth for 30 years and mostly in Brixton for the last 25. Worked in the square in Brixton with the Friends of Tate Library Gardens, the Friends of Buckle Park, Brixton Society, to put on community arts events, often from volunteer aspect with small funding. Buckle Park, I've shown work in there with Indra Khanna, who curated it. And Friends of Buckle Park, we put on the big draw every year, and I'm going to mention the big draw, which is coming up in September, October.
What, in your opinion, are the positive aspects of collaborative and community art?
I think it's for people to be surprised by. It's in areas where they wouldn't expect art. It's often non-exclusive. It's not elitist. It's often free. It's all accessible, and that's part of its nature. So sharing is part of its ethos, so it's not about the artist per se, it's about how the artist interprets and uses their creativity to share it with communities.
What do you hope happens when you get up on the plinth?
A, I don't have vertigo and I don't feel faint, and B, some friends will come, family will be there. I'll be able to share a few things with colleagues and students that are still at Lewisham College, if they're watching, and have a nice afternoon of an hour of time for me.
Do you have any expectations about what it will be like?
I think it might be a bit daunting. I hope I can just get into the swing and flow and be as clear and concise, but also get some messages across that I want to share.
Are those personal messages?
Well, a few personal ones which are relating to friends and colleagues at college, as I said, and more about generally how creativity can help people in their lives, health and well-being. There's a thing coming up called Spring Forward, which I'll mention, which is in Lambeth again.
What has your, how would you summarise your experience of the project since you first applied to this moment now?
It's been a little roller coaster. I've shared it with some people. I realised I haven't shared it that widely, but I have tried to tell people about it, say get involved and come along and have some fun.
And have you been following the project and watching other people?
Yeah, as I said, fairly heavy term time, so I did try and catch it a few times, and the last few days at the end of term I've been able to look at a few more.
And what are some of the things that you've liked or disliked about what you've seen?
Well, I love the fun elements. I love the people using the Godzilla. I came across that one. Just the fact they can use technology to be able to link into YouTube. Really interesting ideas. I haven't really seen any much of the contentious stuff. I've discussed it with an Australian artist who's over here who's actually come across and seen it. Yeah, some things are reading poetry or whatever that people want to do and share. I think it's just great. Little bits. I said I can imagine that there is a bit of flack and after effect. It seemed quite generally quite positive, I thought, initially. My initial aspect was I thought by the 23rd of July it would have been closed down, so I'm really pleased it's still going strong.
And one of the things we're asking the people who are going up on the plinth to help us get an idea of who is involved in the project, is what are the things that are important to you in your life at the moment? Would you mind telling us?
It's always the important things are how my family is, how they're doing and how positive their lives are, how I can share and be helpful to them and my friends, and also as a 57-year-old woman, how I can have some impact on how things might be for others, given that I've lived this long and I've experienced things.
And what is it that your son thinks about you going up on the plinth, do you know?
He's very supportive, they always are. One of them perhaps less so. All very creative children want to share when I need it, shall I say that. If they've had the choice, I'm sure they would have found something else to do this afternoon.
And is there anything else you'd like to tell us before we finish that we might not have asked you?
Well, I'd like to just say I'm also going to read a few poems from members of the family, and this includes my mother-in-law, or I should say Beata Duncan, and her experience as a refugee coming across from Germany. Her poem about Anne Frank I'm going to read out. She is an older woman, shall I say, but she is, as anyone would say, she would call herself a poet and not a woman poet. So the women of that generation are often frenemies in a way, in saying we shouldn't have any differentiation between women, men, art. It's about the creative spirit.
And why have you chosen to include that in?
Piece is a bit about being on a pedestal, being on a plinth. One of her poems, this one, actually talks about the idea of some icons and pinups that Anne Frank had on her wall. And it's for moving.
And is that a topic that you share with her, or something that she has brought into your life?
Her poetry is in our lives, and it's gone through our son, her son and his children, my children. And it's just a recognition of the importance of thoughts put into a very distinct form, which is very controlled. And perhaps that's something I'd like to share with her because of my rather more holistic approach, shall I say, to life in general.
And is that something you asked her to do, or did she approach you about doing it?
I thought I'd do one relating to women and childbirth and growth from a poem my husband's written, one my son's writing about his experience of living in Brixton, and then one from her point of view.
So you've managed to involve the family in what you're doing?
Yes, three generations.
Excellent, well thank you.